this pandemic is here. And so there's an extra level of worry, intensity, and of course work that is going on. So what is happening as of today at Quinney Healthcare?
A lot is happening. A lot has been happening for a while to prepare for this. Everybody knows that this is a global phenomenon, and it is a crisis that's requiring an entire social response. So every level of our society is involved in trying to mitigate the damages with this crisis, from the individual citizen right up to all levels of government. But you're right, the acute healthcare hospitals have to take that much extra levels of precautions and preparedness. So at the hospital, we have our leadership working around the clock. We have a special center that meets daily and communicates through the day, trying to prepare on multiple levels. So we're anticipating that if we have an experience like they've had in other parts of the world, like Italy, for example, or parts of the U.S. and other parts of Europe, that we could be seeing high numbers of people coming through the eMERGE with pneumonia. We may not see the same levels as some of these places because the public health response in Canada has been initiated a little bit sooner compared to a lot of other places, which gives us some hope. But we nevertheless need to be prepared for high numbers of people, particularly with pneumonia, coming in through our emergency department. And we need to be taking precautions to ensure that the healthcare workers who need to be there to help anyone who comes through our doors are healthy themselves. So what this means is that we are very actively looking at the spaces in the hospital and reorganizing all areas of the hospital to accommodate extra ward spaces. So I would anticipate, for example, that many of our outpatient clinics have had to cut down services and find ways to transition services to phone-based care or virtual care, or coordinate with clinics outside of the hospital to maintain the care of people who need it during this crisis. But ultimately, we're substantially cutting down the amount of elective or outpatient care that we're doing. And we would expect to see some inpatient ward beds going into what would be atypical spaces. So we're making space. We're also trying to adapt our processes to minimize the number of people who are coming in, maintaining social distances within the hospital between our staff and between patients and families and so on, because it's really critical that we reduce the potential for spread both within our communities and particularly within the hospital. So you may know that we have reduced our entrances. There's one entrance now for patients and families, and one entrance for staff. We've reduced the number of people who are allowed in to visit. And this is critical to reduce the potential at this stage that the virus could come through our doors, spread amongst our patients, and particularly amongst our staff, because we're expecting to require more staff than we typically do. And it has been difficult to recruit nurses and doctors even at the best of times. So we're going to need all hands on deck, and we're going to need everybody healthy. And already we are working with each other to determine who can work beyond their typical scope. I've been absolutely humbled and impressed by our nurses and our physicians who have signed up and said, yes, you know what, if you need help in the ER, I'm prepared to be there. If you need help on these new wards, I'm prepared to be there. But we know that despite all of this, the staffing could be tight, and we're expecting that that people may need to be working long hours as they have in other places. So there's a lot of work in preparing the staff. And there's a lot of work required to ensure that we have the right clinical processes and protocols in place so that when patients come through with this virus, we can manage them properly and keep them separated through the through their care journey in the hospital from other patients. And there's special personal protective equipment, special types of precautions within procedures, such as when doing airway management and so on, that we're having to learn and teach our staff so that everybody has the knowledge and skills required for this specific illness.
Let's, if we can, just for a second, talk about that. We were on the phone with Premier Ford today, and the Premier announced 9 million pairs of gloves and so on and so forth. We hear the word ventilator, ventilator, ventilator. Italy is out of ventilators, and they've had to make horrible decisions. I mean, if you're an 86-year-old person who has underlying conditions and a 24-year-old comes in, guess what? That's not a decision that any doctor would like to make. How are we at Quinney Healthcare with supplies?
So we are optimistic about many supplies. So we have optimism in part because we have at baseline a well-serviced intensive care unit and well-serviced wards. But we're also working in coordination with the entire province. So regionally, with our typical partners in what had been the Southeast Lynn area, there are daily communications, coordination of supplies, and a commitment that we will work with each other to move needed resources from one area to another. Typically, this illness has come up in clusters, and so there is a potential that we will not all be hit at once, as it were. So there may be some opportunity to facilitate transfers and coordination of supplies and staff as needed. And I know that at the higher levels of government, they're working very hard to establish a inventory of all of the resources, the most important resources, so that this principle can be applied across the province, right? So this gives us some optimism, and we also know that that all levels of government are working with partners to find resources where we may need them to try to build up our stores.
And you know, when we think of ventilators, and these are machines that are very complex, and they help, they breathe for somebody. ORs have them, and because we've shut down elective surgeries, and I guess there's one OR open for emergencies, your appendix is about to burst, it has to come out.
That's right, yeah.
So those ventilators in the ORs could, in, I guess, be used in another place where they would probably never be taken out because they're used every day, because that those ORs are shuttered, they can be moved.
Yes.
Or the vents could be moved.
That's right. And I know there's been a lot of publicity about ventilators and the needs in other places. What we're learning from Italy and other places is that it's a fraction of people who end up requiring ventilators, and there's a whole number of other tools and means to give airway support to patients that are just as important. And we need to make sure we have supplies in the full range, right? So this is what we're working on. And what's maybe a, more of a bottleneck, in fact, is not just the machines, but it takes specialized nurses and respiratory therapists and so on to use those machines. So there, too, we have optimism that some flexibility and cooperation and key resourcing will be helpful, as long as we're working well as a region and as a province.
So are we seeing situations where doctors, I mean, you're a medical doctor who went on to specialize in psychology, right? Or psychiatry, I should say.
Yes.
But are we seeing situations where other doctors who would never be in a certain situation are saying, listen, I mean, I spend most of my day looking at knees, but knees aren't what we need right now. What we need is this. And they're saying, let me do something.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. I am really just touched, and just so grateful to so many of my colleagues who are saying that they're ready to learn, they're ready to step in, they're ready to help each other. Mm-hmm. It's one team, and that motto, that theme is quite prevalent at the hospital right now.
Well, that stuff is fantastic to know, that there seems to be a lack of selfishness and as you said, a team kind of thing. I want to talk a little bit about the hospital itself, because we're hearing stories of people who should probably go to the hospital, non-COVID related, who are now scared to go and don't want to go and are holding off on something, and that something can be worse, get really worse. For example, you have a huge cut on your hand and you're just wrapping it with something because you're scared to go to the hospital. But if you get an infection in there, that's going to create way more issues than having a doctor quickly sew that up. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us, Dr. McPherson, people should still go to the hospital if they have an emergency?
That's right. If you have an emergency, you should definitely go to the hospital. We're taking excellent precautions to ensure that those with infection type illnesses are quickly brought in and placed in places that are separate to minimize the potential of infection to those others who have other problems. Having said that, we're asking people to use judgment. So definitely, if it's an emergency, you need to come in. You need to come in.
I would say, if you can see your femur, like physically see your femur, you need to go to the hospital, right?
Definitely. Definitely, you need to come into the hospital. for people who have mild to moderate illness, including people with mild to moderate symptoms that could be COVID-19, we're asking those people not to go anywhere, that they should be home, they should be self-isolating, and they should be making phone calls to get advice before they go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Like if you've gone and had some kind of crazy meal somewhere that you never are used to having, and then you get the runs, you probably don't need to go to the ER. You probably need to drink lots of fluids, maybe some Imodium, and let your body heal itself, right?
That's right. Yeah. So if you're otherwise, if you're otherwise well, you're breathing well, and you can comfortably sit and watch TV, there's no reason to come into the hospital.
Let's take a break. 10:20. When we come back, we'll talk about people who should be coming to the hospital. And we've heard these terms like negative oxygen or negative air rooms and things like that. And what are emergency services doing when they do show up, if you have to call 911, and when to call 911, because there's some question about that as well. So Dr. McPherson is here. He's also a psychiatrist, and people are kind of losing their minds a little bit. So we'll talk to him about ways to cope because this is unprecedented for almost all of us. We'll take a break.
This hour on 800-CJBQ is brought to you by Whitley Insurance and Financial Services.
Water damage. It's the number one hazard in homes today. Weather calamities can cost you thousands, but you're well covered under the Whitley umbrella. Your home is irreplaceable. Insure it that way. Get a quote today at WhitleyFinancial.com.
Be fussy, call Hussy. She'll sell your sell it fast. The top sales rep for Exit Realty Group. Call 438-5588 because Sandra Hussey is all about you. Be fussy, call Sandra Hussey. Be fussy, call Hussey today. SandraHussey.ca.
The Children's Foundation would like to thank the generous sponsors and guests from this year's Guardian Angel Gala. Mystical Magical, honoring Mark Phillips.
Thanks to you, the Children's Foundation raised $175,000.
Thanks to you, I can go to summer camp.
Thanks to you, I can play hockey.
Thank you.
Helping one family at a time. The Children's Foundation changes lives in Hastings, Northumberland, and Prince Edward counties.
Visit thechildrensfoundation.ca.
When you use a WarAmps key tag, you protect your keys. If you lose your keys, the finder can call the WarAmps or drop them in any mailbox. And the WarAmps will return them to you by courier for free. Order your key tags today at waramps.ca.
get ready for the show that celebrates the people who bring your stuff to cities and towns everywhere.
Arena, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Matama, Apollo, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Copenhagen.
It's the Trucker Radio Show.
Will they bring toilet paper?
Friday nights at 10 and again Sunday nights at 7 on Quetty's Hometown Radio, 800 CJBQ. Live from Studio 800, it's the Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
Welcome back, Lauren Brooker Show, Friday morning. We're joined in studio today by the Chief of Staff for Quinty Healthcare, Dr. Colin McPherson. And one thing people have to understand, Dr. McPherson, is that everything else is still happening. People are still going to have a heart attack, right? People are still going to have a stroke. Stroke procedure is still in place at Quinty Healthcare. As I said, people are still going to fall and break their leg. There will be, unfortunately, car accidents. The things that seniors who are very old or who have health conditions that they're coming to their end of their life anyways, cancer, all those kind of things, dialysis, chemotherapy, all those things are still going on. And people have to understand that as well. Like, this is a very, very stressful, as you said, and difficult time for the hospital. So it's important to know when not to go in. But when should somebody come in? When should somebody say, listen, I really need, I think I should go to the ER? When should somebody, as I said, if you can see your femur, just call 911. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. But I know that as opposed to just going to the ER with a respiratory condition, you really should call 911 because they will bring people to you who are prepared to deal with the possibility of COVID-19, and then also they will alert the ER that you're coming.
That's right. Yeah, so with respect to COVID-19, the recommendation now is that 85% of people will have mild to moderate illness, and the type of illness that may include some shortness of breath, fever, cough, but the type of illness that most people could manage at home. And they should stay home. And so the recommendation would be to stay home, make a call to public health or to Telehealth Ontario, get some advice. But I suspect that 80 to 85% of people can and should stay at home to work through their symptoms, self-isolating, because going into a clinic or going into the hospital really would put other people at risk. And if you don't happen to have COVID-19, you would be going to a place where there would likely be some patients with it, and you would put yourself at risk.
Is there anybody at a Quinty Healthcare facility now with COVID-19?
There's nobody at the hospital presently who has been tested positive for COVID-19.
Are there presumptive cases at the hospital?
We have a few cases of people with upper respiratory infection for whom we have taken some testing, which presently is pending. But in these cases, the likelihood is still considered low that they would test positive. But we're taking a precautionary approach to most patients, particularly when they're in the hospital.
At this point, and we had Dr. Oglaza on the show yesterday, at this point, I mean, the fact of travel really plays a role in whether you are potentially a COVID-19 or a novel coronavirus carrier. But it is the community infection that we're starting to worry about, and obviously that's happened in Toronto. We saw a horrible case of a 51-year-old who passed away. But that's still fairly unlikely for this area right now, is what we understand.
Yeah, unlikely because of the public health precautions that are in place. Most people are staying home. Most people are keeping some distance. We've reduced interactions in most public spaces. And that's what's going to hold off public spread.
As chief of staff, have you told all the administrative staff and those type of people to just get out of the hospital, go work from home?
We've told many people to get out of the hospital, except for those who are essential or redeployable to areas where it's necessary to have people.
But if you're in billing, you probably don't need to be in a hospital right now.
Yeah, yeah. So we are. Many people have already gone home. We're also rewriting our work from home policy.
Mm-hmm.
For this particular purpose. And the idea will be to optimize every opportunity to keep as many people out of the hospital as possible, including staff.
I know we have a brand new and fantastic lab at QHC.
Mm-hmm.
Is it able to do this test for novel coronavirus, or does it have to be sent somewhere else?
Presently, it has to be sent somewhere else. The Ontario government is trying to make their best rational approach to who does the testing. Presently, we're sending our specimens either to a public health lab. And as of last week, Kingston's Health Science Center has the capacity to do testing.
Do you imagine that QHC will be able to do testing at some point if it gets... if there's a spike and because if there's a 6-day delay, that's not acceptable. I mean, people need to find out right away so you can deal with it properly, right?
That's right. Yeah, we would do that in coordination with the Ministry of Health. It is possible. It would require new equipment and supplies.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do specimens... This is a question from one of our listeners. How do you get these specimens? You take a test,
mm-hmm.
right? You think somebody may have it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you protect the people that are delivering it? Is there a specialized courier that knows how to deal with this kind of thing? I assume these kind of things happen all the time.
Sure, yeah. So we're very, very used to taking specimens of potentially infectious material. So there's nothing special here. The tests are swabs. You swab the back of the throat, for example, and put it into a container, taking care not to touch the sides and so on. And then there's ways to seal it off and then package it so that the risk to anyone who would be carrying that is infinitesimally small.
When you see, I'm not sure if you saw the story, Colin, about the CDC saying, hey, if you run out of, try to reuse masks, perhaps, if you can, and mm-hmm. and things like that. And if nothing's available, use a bandana.
Mm-hmm.
And does it go through your head as a medical professional, as a doctor, that how could they even be saying this? I mean, we're not in a position here in Canada where you're going to tell one of your physicians or nurses to use a bandana.
Not yet, but it is a serious concern. It is a very serious concern, and it's a point of anxiety for all of us in healthcare. So the fact is that facial masks are a very important part of the personal protective equipment for healthcare workers, typically only required for those who are in direct contact with patients, so within a couple of meters and touching them and so on. Because this is a virus that spreads by droplet. You need to get some saliva from a sneeze or a cough on you. If you're more than 2 meters away from people, you're pretty safe.
Mm-hmm.
But for healthcare workers who are getting up close and are working with these patients all day long, it's absolutely imperative that we have the right equipment. And the fact is that we are seeing some disruption in supply chains and a worldwide demand for these types of masks, N95 masks, for example, and surgical masks. So we are considering them as precious right now, trying to control our stocks. But there is a serious shortage out there.
Wow.
And limited capacity within the country to manufacture some of these things.
And it does not help that people are buying all this stuff up just out of concern when we've been told many, many, many times that wearing a mask in the general public, if you don't have it, is not going to really stop you from getting it. And healthcare professionals really need these things.
Yeah, we really do, and we are working with all of our partners to make sure we rationalize our resources, and community partners too. We will and have been communicating to industry, manufacturing, and elsewhere, where there's many other industries that use N95 masks, mm-hmm. different types of masks.
Drywallers use them.
Yes, anyone who's got them. Our hospital is really, we really need to make sure we have the supplies to get through this. If we experience what we've experienced in Italy, the numbers could be significant, and we need our healthcare workers well, and we need them feeling safe to do their job.
Is it safe, Doc, to say that we're planned for the worst and hoping for the best?
Always. So we're planning for the worst, yes, and definitely hoping for the best.
Like, people legitimately are not out. I mean, not that there's anywhere for them to go, but I driving to work, things like that, you really do notice there's nobody out. And that's really the best prescription here, besides the obvious of hand washing and social distancing and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But just stay at home. If you are healthy and at home, there's a pretty good chance that your microwave oven is not going to give you COVID-19, right? So, like, being at home is the best thing you could do.
That's right, yeah. So limiting community spread, or at least slowing it down, delaying when there's onset, will make a huge difference in 2, 3, 4 weeks from now. So it's absolutely critical. Yeah.
You know, so they say, call 911 when you really think you need to call 911. And there are people in this world who are, okay, I'm calling 911 right now. I know this is worse than normal. This is worse than the flu I had 6 months ago. And then there's people, and you see them every day, who have had chest pain for 4 hours and are thinking, mm-hmm. I'll be fine. Or, you know, they just put it off. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. When, in your opinion, and I know everybody's different, but when does somebody need to think about calling 911 or going to the hospital? Like, if you are having severe breathing problems, like you feel like you're drowning, mm-hmm. that should be, to me, a time when you need to call 911.
Yeah, so what I would say is, if people have symptoms of COVID-19, if they have a cough, a fever, myalgias, and they believe they had, you know, some reasonable chance of being in contact with someone who's known to have COVID-19, or they've been traveling. So if you have mild to moderate symptoms, it would be prudent to call telehealth Ontario, or to call the public health office and get advice about how to isolate at home, self-monitor. And potentially, as we get the system ramped up and operating well, we'll be able to monitor those people at home. And our hope is to be able to develop some resources for people at home to be able to connect to a healthcare professional by phone or by televideo easier than we do now. So there's a lot of work on that.
And sometimes I think that, you know, if a nurse or even a doctor for a second or whatever can see you on Skype or on mm-hmm. FaceTime, and they're looking at you, and they're going to say, oh, you know, just by looking at you, I know you're having a problem.
I'm calling an ambulance. But, or they could look at you and say, okay, look, you know, let's check in again tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of what physicians do is looking at a patient and just being able to see and things like that. On the other hand, if you're too sick to even call 911, you need to call 911.
That's very reasonable advice. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
If you're like, I can't mm-hmm. think about that. We're going to take a break in a sec. Before we do, one big question. Hospitals are clean places, but they're also dangerous places. I mean, there are bugs flying around hospitals. I'm not talking about mosquitoes. I'm talking about, you know, mm-hmm. there's bacteria and viruses, and you do incredible work to clean mm-hmm. and sterilize. Are you doing double duty? What extra precautions is Quinney Healthcare taking? I know if, McDonald's is taking extra precautions, mm-hmm. I assume Quinney Healthcare is as well.
Oh, yes. So there's lots of extra precautions in place, including closing down areas where people had previously been congregating, cafeterias, et cetera.
I hear at the Tim Hortons in there, they've put up some sort of...
That's right.
Like a barrier.
Plexiglass barrier to maintain the distance
between
people and the servers. And we're putting more particular attention in all areas of the hospital to wiping down surfaces, doorknobs, that kind of thing. There's no special solvents or cleaners that are required. We've had those supplies. We're using them. And, you know, everyone in the hospital is washing their hands with extra vigilance.
There is no lack of place to wash your hands at
Nestor
Hospital. There are sinks everywhere and sanitizer everywhere.
That's right. Yeah.
And, well, that's great. It's good to know that everybody's taking responsibility, right, in keeping it clean and themselves clean.
That's right. Yeah. Everybody's taking this very, very seriously. And you know, we want to do our best for our community.
We're going to take a break because he's here and he's a psychiatrist. We'll talk about people's mental health during this because it is straining, and there's no question it is. Even if you're perfectly healthy, but you're in your house with three kids, that is mentally tough. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about some ways to cope and things that could maybe make you calm down just a little bit. As we continue our conversation with Dr. Colin McPherson, he is the chief of staff at QHC.
The Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ returns in moments.
Honey? Any idea who ate the last piece of chocolate cake?
It must have been Timmy.
No, it was you. Your dirty fingerprints are all over the fridge.
This could have been avoided with Arnie's Appliances. Get stainless steel Frigidaire appliances with exclusive smudge-proof technology at Arnie's. Easy to clean, reduces smudges and fingerprints.
Should have bought a Frigidaire.
Frigidaire appliances with smudge-proof stainless steel. Frigidaire. Say goodbye to fingerprints. Get yours today at Arnie's Appliances. Pay no taxes at Arnie's Appliances. Tyendinega.
If your insurance company has denied you disability benefits and you don't know where to turn, there's something you should know. Bond Law can help you. Bond Law has been helping people who have been denied disability benefits since 1972. We have the trial experience, knowledge, and support staff to take the burden of fighting your insurance company off your shoulders. We listen to you and what you need. Win the fight with experienced, successful local lawyers. Call for a free consultation. 771-0600. Bond Law, here for you when you need them most.
Big Fuzzy, call Hussy. She'll sell your home, she'll sell it fast. The top sales rep for Exit Realty Group. Call 438-5588 because Sandra Hussy is all about you. Big Fuzzy, call Sandra Hussy. Big Fuzzy, call Hussy today.
Caring for someone you love in the final months of their life? You don't have to do this alone. Hospice Quinty can offer a brief reprieve with scheduled visits to your home. Your Hospice Quinty volunteer is a friendly visitor trained to care for the terminally ill. So you can go grab a coffee, take a walk, whatever you need. Thanks to generous donations, Hospice Quinty services are free in Belleville, Quinty West, Deseronto, and Tyendinega. Visit hospicequinty.ca. Care for changing lives.
Stay up to date on the COVID-19 outbreak with 800-CJBQ. The CJBQ news team is by your side, giving you the latest coronavirus news as it happens. Keep up to date online at QuentyNews.com and live on your hometown radio station, 800-CJBQ.
I think we need to talk. The Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
Prime Minister speaks just after 11 o'clock this morning with his daily update. We'll, of course, update you on any news that comes out of the Prime Minister's mouth. How much longer before he can actually leave Rideau Cottage? And because he's got a couple kids, his wife, himself. I mean, you talk about people who are under stress. I would suggest the Prime Minister and all world leaders, municipal leaders, and provincial leaders are under a significant amount of stress and to be quarantined. I know John Tory, the mayor of Toronto, is also in self-isolation. Wow, it's got to be extra frustrating. You want to get out there and talk to his man, but you can't because you're in your house. And there's a lot of people in that situation right now. One of the things we're lucky to have today with us is a psychiatrist. And so this is a mental thing as much as it is a physical thing for people. It is not common for people. It's Friday, mm-hmm. right? First day of spring. Mm-hmm. What would a lot of people do on a Friday night? They go out for a drink, go grab, see their friends, mm-hmm. have a meal. None of that can happen. As a matter of fact, they don't want you to see your friends.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who have just got back from a vacation with their family, and you can't blame them because everybody likes to go down and see the mouse or whatever the case might be, and now they're stuck mm-hmm. for an extra 2 weeks with their family in a house.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are by themselves who are just like, I'm by myself.
Mm-hmm.
What do? I'm by myself. The human situation is one that requires some socialization, even for the most... even for some people who don't want to do much with many folks. So this, for your line of work, aside from all the other stuff you're doing, is a time when we've got to think of our mental health as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of the things you don't want to do is stay home and watch the news all day.
Unfortunately, I am one of those people who kind of have to do that. But
sure.
That's why, you know, we always joke on the show that I love watching The Bachelor because it's the worst show on television, mm-hmm. but it is so non-news.
Right. Yeah. You need distraction. You need distraction. This has been all consuming for so many people and even for me. So I've been working long hours in preparation for this and talking endlessly about it with my teams and so on.
So what do you do? What do you watch? You watch Seinfeld or something stupid or... A Will Ferrell movie, like, or The Hangover, like, something stupid like that maybe is a good thing, right?
I'm going to try. I probably should, find something to watch. I think that's good advice, though. Find something silly, something that will enable you to distract.
Watch The Three Amigos, for God's sake. Like, you know, seriously, like, anything that is just, or... Yeah. You know what I have been tuning in? There's a channel called A Frame TV, and mm-hmm. all they do is show videos of everything around the world. It could be Irish countrysides. Mm-hmm. It could be beautiful sunsets. It could be they put just cameras in New York City, right?
Right, right.
And yesterday I watched some Irish castles for a bit and went, wow, isn't that beautiful?
Not bad, yeah.
And so that is so not the news.
So this is one critical thing, right, which is managing your attention. So, you know, making sure that you're not overly consumed with this on your mind all the time. You need to distract yourself. You need to manage your self-care. So I think you can get taken away with this and lose hours. You need to remember to do the basics, to take care of yourself physically, so that if you do get sick, by the way, that you'd be in a much better chance to beat it.
Keep that workout routine. Even if you can't go to the gym, you still are allowed to go outside.
Sure, stretching, yoga, whatever it is, but also eating well and keeping up with your meals and keeping normal sleep routines and so on in place. These are very important things. And although we may find ourselves in more isolation, we have the remarkable social technologies now that I think should allow people to communicate. And help each other out. But I would suggest that you try to be purposeful about sending some positive messages, some encouragement, some gratitude. What I'm seeing is that people are feeling a lot of helplessness. So there's anxiety. There's a sense that there's a danger, some type of hurricane lurking off the coast going to come and hit us. And it's very difficult to endure the anticipation of that when you're feeling helpless, you don't know what to do. And I'm seeing people go out and buy extra food and do things, which I think is more about managing anxiety.
Why are people buying 100 rolls or 500 rolls of toilet paper?
I think in part it's because you need to do something. So you need to do something to feel like you're protecting yourself. And so people are going out and buying stocks. And I can understand buying stocks for a period of time in case you need to quarantine for a couple of weeks or so. But I think we all have to be careful not to be excessive because it can undermine the supplies for other more vulnerable people when they need it who aren't in a position to go out and spend a lot of money on things at once. But I would think that the anticipation and helplessness is an important burden that people are feeling now. And so taking on something that you can do productively and proactively, even if it's as simple as, you know, jigsaw puzzles or, you know, a project. If you're stuck at home, you can't go to work, work through a Russian novel or something. Right? pick something that you can work on.
We had our gardening expert, Carson Arthur, on yesterday. And, you know, now's the time for people to start getting peppers and tomatoes and things like that or working out in the garden. What a wonderful thing, because you're going to nurture a new life, right? And it's going to come out and produce something. And I think that kind of thing is beneficial. Teaching your kid how to cook, to bake something.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then you get delicious cookies at the end of it, and maybe you've...
Yeah, and if you're in a position to play games, you know, and have some fun, great.
Fun is the best word, isn't it?
Yeah, fun, yeah. Is an antidote to anxieties in the worst of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there any simple tools that you can give us? People always say, try to breathe, like deep breathing. But that actually does work. It changes your physiology, right?
It definitely does. You know, just stop and do it purposefully. You know, don't wait till you're in a bit of a panic. Just, so many times a day, stop. Take a deep breath in. Hold it for, a matter of seconds. Let it out slowly. Do it again. It's something very simple to it. But, our anxiety levels, our emotions are moderated so much by oxygen and carbon dioxide. Everybody knows that when they get anxious, when they get into a panic, they start to breathe shallow. There's reasons for that. It drives up carbon dioxide, and it allows your muscles to get twitchy in case you need to run. But we don't need to run.
Fight or flight,
yeah,
right?
That's right, fight or flight. So the lungs are very, very connected to our anxiety centers. And it does make a difference. If you can just stop, deep breathe for a bit, settle your mind, focus on something, very present or very pleasant. And remember where you are, that you're everybody's in the same boat and everybody's in it together. And we all want to help each other. And if we take it that way, I think it promises to be hard. It promises to include some losses for our community. But I hope we can get through it together and with a shared spirit that will bring some new value to us as well, somehow.
Are you worried at this time of when people are anxious and scared and that people will turn to a lot of alcohol and drugs and things like that? And that is probably the worst thing that you could do right now, is create another issue on top of what's going on. I mean, listen, you want to have a glass of wine or a beer or whatever and try to settle down for a bit. I think a lot of people are probably going to be doing that, but it shouldn't become, hey, I'm sitting at home, I have nothing else to do but drink. That is not a good idea.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. You're right. People are more risk at these times to taking what I would call some maladaptive patterns of coping, drinking being one of the more popular, and people need to be very mindful. I have a huge respect for alcohol, given all of the work I've done over the years.
I bet.
At strong-willed, well-functioning people can fall into some difficulty with alcohol if they're not taking good care. So this is a time to take good care of your health. Focus on the basics and focus on some positive things, because we're all going to need each other. There's no opting out.
You know, we talk about the community at Quinney Healthcare, and that's the way you look at it, but really this is an overall community, and we're talking about things like, if you got some older people in your neighborhood, check on them, see if they need anything. If they don't have to go to a grocery store and you're going, find out what they need, right?
That's
say,
right,
hey,
yeah.
I'm about to head to the grocery store. I know you were sick a few weeks ago. Let me get some stuff for you. Don't worry about it, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, elderly are more vulnerable, people with comorbid conditions. They should be making their best effort to isolate at home, and those around them should be making the efforts to get what they need and bring it to their door. That's a really positive thing we can start to do for each other in the community.
And maybe it'll make you feel better that you're, you know, we see all our neighbors shoveling people out and doing when we have snowstorms. This is a time to do that same kind of neighborly thing, but for people who might need it in a different way.
Yeah, you know, everybody out there who is keeping their distance, who's staying at home, they should feel good about that. They should be proud that they're making their contribution to protecting each other and protecting our healthcare workers. Because at the hospital, there's a number of doctors and nurses who are gearing up and expecting to put in some hard work and long hours. And we want to do that, and we're very grateful for the huge effort that everybody in the country, including in our area, are making to flatten the curve, as it were. Mm-hmm. And everybody should be proud of their contribution and feel good about that.
So wash your hands, stay at home, don't take the entire family to the grocery store. Just send one person and with a list. You know, try to be 6 feet or whatever apart from each other. And here's the big question I think people have. So, you know, we, in a perfect world, if you got the sniffles or a cold, you would stay home. But people don't. They just go and do their thing. Mm-hmm. When should people just stay home the first little bit of snot that comes running down their nose? Like, because, you know, people don't know anymore.
Yeah,
and I said that to Dr. Jennifer Webster, who's on the show all the time. I said, mm-hmm. Dr. J, everybody's going to think they have COVID-19, even if they just have a common everyday cold. So mm-hmm. we're not doctors. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Yeah, yeah, you don't know, and that's why you should stay home if you have a cold or what you think is the flu. You need to take the precautionary principle. Stay home, and the risk is if you go out, even if it's the cold, you're going to pass it to some other people, and then you'll have multiple people with the same dilemma you have, you know, and we don't know, not knowing if it's COVID or a cold. So we want to minimize the spread of everything right now. It's really critical to do that.
Okay. The number for telehealth is 1-866-797-0000. Before you head to the hospital, if you think you should go to the hospital, call them. They will tell you to go to the hospital if they believe it. And the provincial government has put a whole bunch of more nurses on the line as well. Hydrate, stay in bed. And if you're really, really sick, you need to call 911. Don't not go to the hospital. I mean, if you just walked up the stairs, the next thing you know, it feels like there's an elephant on your chest, you need to call 911.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
call 911. I prefer the calling of 911 rather than going in on your own if you're in that kind of distress.
Yeah.
And it will help us to coordinate your entrance into the hospital to protect everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I would really like to thank you for coming in today and not only talking to us about what QHC is doing and what you're prepared to do if this comes in full force, but also to give us a little discussion about our brains and to try to keep them healthy as well during this incredible time of pandemic, which none of us have seen before. Is there a class on this in school?
There's some pandemic training, but not on COVID. This is a whole new game.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it, Dr. McPherson.